minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the show, the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on the First Advantage Hotline to talk about the big news of the day is Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and Steve Adazio out as CSU football coach after 16 games. Kevin's got the write-up in the Coloradoan. Kevin, my friend, well, we talked about it earlier. We were both kind of in the camp that Adazio might be back next year until Saturday happened, and then I think things, I wonder anyway, when things started getting into motion.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, we talked earlier this week, it's all blurring together.
Yeah.
But you know, going into Saturday, I thought, you know, if I had put a percentage on, I said, you know, 95% he would be back going into Saturday. And then the game happened. Yeah, it's not really the blowout. Obviously, that certainly doesn't hurt. But the blowout, the ejection, which was, you know, a pretty shocking moment, that doesn't happen. And then the fan base, or lack of fan base at the game, and the furor you heard from fans after a game certainly played a big role. I mean, even at halftime, I was talking to some folks, you know, in the stadium that are, you know, very well connected, very tuned in to CSU and the fan base and everything. And they're saying the same things that, you know, before they thought for sure he'd be back. And then even at halftime, we're saying, oh boy, like this is going to become an interesting week. And obviously it has. So I think that certainly played a huge factor. You know, Joe Parker, we're having a press conference at 2 p.m., so we'll get a little bit more detail from him on his thinking and timeline and everything. We'll see how much detail he actually wants to give. But there's no doubt that finale played a role and kind of made some people higher up say, you know, oh boy, you know, this might be a bigger issue than we realized.
Well, you know, I'm going back to an interview with Parker on Ram Nation with Joel Cantalamessa, and that was 4 weeks ago, Kevin, and,
yeah.
and Joe was essentially saying, you know, we got to be patient, you got to be da-da-da-da-da, it takes time. And so, you know, judging by that, that's, I think, where you and I were probably coming up with the 95% coming back kind of deal. So really, I mean, that's kind of crazy if you think about it. That one moment perhaps is what really put this thing over the edge as far as the ejection on Saturday.
Yeah, I went back and listened for a second time to that podcast just last week to kind of, you know, just refresh and see exactly what Joe had said. Yeah, not just in this, you know, from that talk, but long term, Joe has always been advocate of continuity and wanting to keep coaches, you know, moving forward, keep things together, keep a program steady and stable. He thinks that's the best path to success. And obviously that's fully understandable. And if you have the right coach, that's fully true. I think, you know, in most circumstances, I think most people would say 16 games in 2 years is not enough time to decide. But I think, you know, CSU certainly feels that this is the exception to that rule. There were so many things that went into it. But, yeah, it's a big departure from what Joe Parker normally does.
Kevin, what was it then? I mean, again, not the ejection, not Joe Parker, but the fan base. I mean, you're on Twitter. I'm on Twitter. You've been seeing this. And I know sometimes we can say, you know, Twitter can be Twitter. It's not always real life. But in this case, it sure. I mean, we were doing polls. We were seeing it on social media. What was it ultimately about Adazio that just rubbed the fan base the wrong way? And I know it's not just losing, because we've had losing in the past. Was it the outburst to the media that, again, as you said, the media is the eyes and ears to the fans? Was it, well, those kind of things? Was it the ejection? Again, this fan base was clearly frustrated well before Saturday.
Yeah, I had a fan. I wish I had it in front of me, but someone tweeted me really, I thought, you know, smart phrasing, basically saying, we've dealt with losing before. You know, obviously we don't want to lose, but if we think things are, you know, being done the right way, we'll handle some losing. You know, look at Nico Medved. They were not good in his first year. They're 12-20, but was anyone mad? Was anyone furious about how the program was going? No, absolutely not, because you could see the signs, and obviously Medved carried himself well. He spoke well about, you know, his love of CSU, how he wanted to build the program. Whereas, you know, Steve Adazio was gruff, was brusque, was unwilling to admit issues, really. Basically, you know, instead of saying, you know, this wasn't good enough, we need to be better, it was, you guys don't know football, you need to sit back and watch while we, you know, the football boys do their work because we've got it under control. And that abrasiveness really rubbed fans the wrong way. Like you said, it's not that he said it to us, the media. That doesn't matter. It's that he's saying it to fans. You know, yeah, he's speaking to those of us in the room, but really it's speaking to fans. Fans are watching those press conferences, reading those quotes. And the abrasiveness and basically dismissiveness of fans, I think, really turned a lot of people off. I mean, the basically saying, you know, you guys just don't know football. We're going to be good. We're this close to being good. You just don't understand that. That mentality really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Because as we've talked about before, people are spending a lot of time and money supporting a program. You know, they're not claiming, you know, fans in the stands aren't claiming they're football savants, but they also don't want to be talked down to about how their opinion doesn't matter. Because they care heavily about the program.
Kevin, ever since I started doing this show years ago, I used to have arguments with listeners about, hey, this is Colorado. There's too much to do in this state to put up. And again, some people put up with losing a lot easier than others. But when you have options and it's averaging 60 degrees in the month of November this year, you have options. You have things you go do. It's one thing to put up with losing. It's another thing to put up with the things that you just mentioned. So if you're going to have a losing year the first year or two, I said this yesterday, you better find other things to connect the fan base, whether that's being a lot like Nico Medved. And we're going to hold that guy up because he gets the fans. He loves the fans. There's no doubt about it. I saw him at the game last week. He's shaking hands. He's waving at people. He's talking to them. I mean, those kind of things resonate win or lose.
Yeah, you know, CSU and Fort Collins are a different culture than Boston and, you know, where Steve Adazio was. It's, you know, a very friendly, almost small town in some ways feel. It's not a small town, but in some ways it has that feel. And yeah, you need those signs of connection. I mean, you know, in some ways I feel bad. We keep bringing up Nico Medved's name, and in a lot of ways it's not fair to him. He has kind of the burden of the athletic department on his shoulders because of football's issues. But you kind of have to keep pointing it out because he does things that have turned. I mean, look, they had almost 5,000 people for a terrible game against Little Rock on a Wednesday night last night. You know, that's what's happened. They've turned it around because they've connected with the fan base. You know, they do outreach things. You know, obviously COVID has curtailed some of it, but, you know, go find ways to connect with fans out in the public, meet with fans, things like that. And it pays off. Whereas, you know, the Adazio staff was, you know, not connected at all. They, you know, they did the coaches show kind of as required, but otherwise, I mean, I've never heard a story of anyone seeing Steve Adazio in Fort Collins. You know, not saying that the guy has to be, you know, out, you know, buying people dinner every night, but he just didn't connect with the city at all. And the abrasiveness, again, just turned a lot of people off.
Yeah, and we've said it a million times, you know, people can put up with losing. I mean, this is a state that still goes to Rockies games, for crying out loud. So this the fan base throughout the state of Colorado can deal with some losing. It's not always that. Yeah, sure, they want the wins, and to get that ultimate turnout that the Rams are wanting, you got to pile on the wins. But there's a lot that goes into it, especially when the state isn't really known as a football state outside of Broncos country. So all those things needed to build your program, going out and about doing all that, not necessarily being abrasive. I get being frustrated once in a while. I do, but yeah. I feel like every week, Kevin, it got to the point where every question was, you know, there was a really tough response to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, you basically couldn't question anything. I remember another reporter asked a fairly benign question about early in the season about, you know, third down struggles, and is the way to improve that having fewer third and longs, because the stats after that, you know, the previous game where that they had a lot of third and longs, and that led to basically a rant of, you don't know football, we didn't have third and longs, we were in third and medium, you know, we took a lot of shots downfield. It's like, you know, where's this even coming from? It wasn't even a hard attacking question. It was just kind of a normal football question, and it's answered with, you know, anger and rage and defensiveness. It became very, very odd. You basically, like I say, you kind of couldn't question anything without it leading to stats used in the way he needed them to back up what he was thinking.
Yeah, Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and Kevin breaking this story earlier today, getting his sources gathered and finding out this information quickly for us. And now I know you got the write-up available at the Coloradoan. Very interesting times that we're in. As you said, Joe Parker will have a press conference at 2 o'clock today. Maybe we get some more insight on that. And to be fair, I saw a couple of tweets saying, hey, I kind of open with this, that Parker's completely opposite of what he said a couple of weeks ago on the Ram Nation podcast. But like you said, a lot has happened even since then, Saturday, as we talked about. So to be fair, extreme measures perhaps were taken because of extreme activities on Saturday.
Yeah, and people's viewpoints can change. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Think one thing at one point, and then as you get more data, it's kind of like, I hate the people that say, well, the science has changed. Well, yeah, we don't treat cancer the way we did back in 1920 either. you change and evolve as you learn more information. So I think it's very fair that, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, whatever you want to call it, CSU was thinking one thing. And then as, more data was collected, to call it that, they changed their mind. I think that's a fair thing, and that's what an athletic department or, frankly, any business should do. You can't just be stagnant. So yeah, we'll see. I'll be curious to see how much Parker divulges. His tendency is to be pretty high-level, kind of bland type stuff that doesn't really give much detail. But it'll be interesting to see what he says about kind of what led to this, what the timeline on the change of thinking was from, 4 weeks ago when he said, we're standing pat. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and still a lot to unpack here. Don't you think that Joe has to go with the complete opposite here, like he did in basketball? You go from Larry Eustachy to Nico Medved. We're dropping his name again. Poor guy. That's what happens when you're 8-0. We're just going to hold you up on a pedestal. But that's what happened. You went completely opposite as far as characters. You had a rough and tough Larry Eustachy to a guy seems like he could be your next door neighbor. I'm not saying he can't get rough and tough as a basketball coach, but he's a great guy. Don't you think Parker has to go that route?
Yeah, I'll use an example, and it's possible I'll be proven to look like an idiot. It wouldn't be the first time. But Gary Patterson's name is being floated a lot. Former TCU coach, just fired, stepped down, whatever we want to call it. Obviously, he was in the Mountain West, has had a lot of success. To be frank, he might be in line for some bigger jobs in CSU, but he's a guy that, because of his Mountain West connections and success, it would make sense to look at him, but he's another fairly abrasive, hard-nosed type of coach, and I'm not sure you can really go that route with another guy. He's a guy, he always limited access to the program. I think he was pretty vocal against NIL deals for players, things like that. So I'm not, a guy like that, he's had a lot of football success, but I don't think you can go that route because in some ways the demeanor would be pretty similar. So, yeah, I think you need a guy who's going to be, more embraceable, to be frank, to put it that way. And most importantly, I think we haven't talked much about it, but in the era of NIL and transfers and all that, you need a player or a coach, who can connect with players. Because if they don't feel connected, they'll just go find somewhere where they are. So you need someone that, can really connect with players and make them feel wanted and valued and all that. So I think that you're spot on, Brady. You need to go in that direction of someone who players will like and can, you don't need to be best friends all the time, but you need to be able to connect. You can't be a dictator. And then someone that can sell CSU football because, I've written this now today. This is, it's a football job. But at least at the start, it's a marketing job because you need to get people engaged with CSU football again because, as we know, there are a lot that are turned off.
It's a marketing job all the time, I mean, I go to these basketball coaches. Basketball is just a different sport, but the three coaches that we talk about on this show so much, Tad Boyle, Steve Smiley with UNC, and of course Nico, I mean, those guys are constantly doing stuff outside of what they're required to do. I mean, I'm actually blown away by all the things that I see these guys do. So you have to do that, and I know some of these guys are trying to do that more and more, but ultimately, you got got to sell your program on a daily basis, not just to recruits, but to fans. So who's in the running here? We know there's a few favorites. There's a few fan favorites that are sticking out there.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Alford, he absolutely is a name that will be high on the list. You know, a big question is he going to want to come here if CSU were to want him? He's been kind of dismissed by CSU in the past as a candidate, so, you know, it wouldn't be unreasonable for him to say, you know, you guys had your chance and you went another way. So he's one. You know, Matt Lubick's name is out there. I think that's probably a little stretch, but I would think CSU is going to look more in the younger trend of things rather than an older, experienced coach, because obviously that kind of went south. And the thing I will say, no one knows for sure. I mean, look across the country at coaching hires. You know, look at ones from the last few years. You know, some that looked suspect end up really good. Some that looked really good end up not working out great. So it's a super hard process. If I had to guess, I would say CSU will go younger. And I have a hunch there will be some CSU tie involved. I don't think that should be required, but I think CSU would probably like that because, again, that would be at least a decent start to the marketing side of things.
Well, if you're Joe Parker, I mean, you got to hire a guy. Again, you want obviously you want a coach that's going to come in here and win games, but that is a risk that everybody takes now. And if I'm Joe Parker, I'm looking at it going, okay, who do the fans want within reason? You know, I'm seeing Gary Kubiak's name thrown out there. Okay, within reason. That way you have more time. You get more patience. I said this last 2 years ago. If Alford was the guy, we wouldn't be having issues 2 years in. Not necessarily because Adazio and Alford are that much different as far as success, but you're willing to grow with this guy. You're willing to give him a chance. Plus, he has ties,
percent,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, so 1,000%. Because we've discussed this a little bit before. Whatever coach came in was going to have some struggles. You know, the cupboard wasn't bare. It wasn't a total rebuild like Adazio claimed, but there were certainly some issues. So you were going to lose some games. But there was no honeymoon period because of Adazio's lack of success prior, how the search went, all that type of stuff. And this next coach, I mean, it's closer to a total rebuild now than it was 2 years ago. I mean, Trey McBride, Toby McBride, Scott Patchen, Manny Jones, Barry Wesley, Brian Stonehouse, all these guys are gone. So you do still have some good players, but fewer of them. So it's, you know, if you're expecting CSU to win 11 games next year, you're going to be disappointed, you know. But you need someone, like you say, that can show what Medved showed, not to bring his name up again, but show in that first 2 years, that things are moving in the right direction and you're building towards something and there's a plan and there's engagement in the fan base and everything. So that's what you need in these this first year. You know, 2021 or 2022, God, where have the years gone? But 2022 CSU, yeah, a bowl would be fantastic. But you need to just have some steps in the right direction, both on and off the field.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we're seeing the press release from CSU that they will bring in, an outside situation firm or what? Is it Urban Meyer again? Or what are we doing this time around?
Yeah, I think that, you know, some people have kind of freaked out over that. Generally, I hate search firms. I think it's a waste of money. And, it's public university money. But with how things went the last time, I think CSU probably felt pressure that they kind of had to have one just to say, hey, look, we did a true vetting process, because very clearly CSU vetted nobody in the last time. You know, they were inches away from hiring Butch Jones before someone Googled Butch Jones and realized he had Title IX issues. They almost had Kevin Wilson, who, again, I think they Googled and found out that he had some issues with some players. And then they end up with Adazio, who, again, you know, there were pretty easily documented issues, but CSU didn't really look into them. So it's very clear the vetting process was lacking last time. So I think that probably made them feel compelled to have a search firm this time. So, it may well turn and do the obvious hire of get Tony Alford. There was a search firm for basketball, and they made the obvious hire with Nico Medved. So it doesn't really mean anyone is in or out. I think it just means CSU knows they have to, at bare minimum, show that they're doing a true vetting process in this hire.
Should we expect to see Steve Adazio on the Urban Meyer Jacksonville Jaguars staff anytime soon?
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, I can confirm that this, you know, when Meyer was hired at Jacksonville, that he reached out to Steve Addazio, and they discussed him going to that staff. Addazio ultimately decided to stay at CSU. I'm guessing he probably regrets that now. But it wouldn't shock me to see him end up there.
Yeah, well, very interesting stuff, Kevin. Appreciate you breaking that for us this morning so we could check that out. I had a whole script ready for topics today. Apparently there's a lockout in baseball. The Nuggets were pressing the panic button. And we got UNC basketball tonight. So, boy, you gave us something to talk about, my friend.
Let's just talk basketball, man. UNC, CSU, there's good basketball up in Northern Colorado. Let's rock and roll with that. Huh?
Man, that game was so much fun on Saturday. The Bears have Montana State tonight, which is why we won't have our normal, I guess, our college tip-off show is what we're going to be doing with myself and Kevin and Chris Abshire, the Colorado one. But we have Bears and Montana State on KFKA tonight.
Yeah, there's good stuff. That's a great game. Excited to tune into that. And then obviously the Saturday CSU St. Mary's is a huge one here in Fort Collins. So football tends to, you know, envelop everything. And of course they will this week a little bit, but basketball is going to get their spotlight Saturday.
Yeah, well, and we're seeing it. It's slowly or quickly becoming more of a basketball school right now anyway, because this basketball team not showing any signs of slowing down. Should have a great matchup on Saturday, man. And, you know, I know we'll catch up with you at some point to talk about that. And, of course, what ultimately happens next with the head coaching spot at Colorado State. Kevin, appreciate you, my friend.
Yep, the last thing I'll say is I would expect this coach search to move pretty fast. You know, there's a signing day December 15, so things should move pretty quickly. Not saying they'll have a coach tomorrow, but within the next 10 days is not unrealistic.
Well, you know, I think that's what fans want. They want to move quickly on this thing and start the new era, whatever that might be. Kevin, appreciate you, my man.
Thanks, Brady.
All right, Kevin has a great write-up in the Coloradoan. Check out coloradoan.com, his full article available there about the firing, the dismissal, whatever you want to call it, of Steve Addazio. As you know, the buyout went from $5 million to $3 million today, and that ultimately was enough to move that needle. And listen, I will defend Joe Parker on this. A lot of people calling out the podcast a few weeks ago with our man, Joel Cantalamessa. Saturday changed things. Saturday changed a lot of things. The way, again, I don't know what was said. I do have sources that are willing to talk to me, and we got to set up the time, that say they were close by. They were right behind Coach, maybe like in the stadium. I don't know, that maybe heard some things that were being said. But it's going to be interesting. 27 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. You guys want to text the program? 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Jerry Schemmel, this season for UNC basketball coverage. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.